God is at work. Anyone who questions you about how could God be fair and to allow people who don't know about Jesus for him to send them to hell, the principle is anyone who seeks the living God, he is going to make sure that that person comes to hear about Jesus Christ. He will move every mountain that he has to move. He will change the economy if he has to. But God will make sure that the seeking sinner will find the Savior.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way.
Last week, we listened as Pastor Brian Grant explained from Scripture how it is that when men are lost, they are lost by their own choosing in suppressing the truth that God has made available to them in the creation and through their own conscience. Pastor Grant shared with us how personal responsibility before God rests on this principle. God has obligated himself to guide anyone who sincerely seeks the living God into the light of his grace. This week, Pastor Grant takes us to chapter 10 of the book of Acts, where we see unfolded a dramatic illustration of that principle in action. Turn to that passage if you have your Bibles, as Pastor Grant continues the second part of his message, Are the Heathen Really Lost? Here's Pastor Grant.
We spoke of the explanation of the principle, and I hope you've got it. God is obligated to help anyone who really is seeking to find Christ. And he has revealed himself to everyone. What's the illustration? Turn to Acts 10. Acts chapter 10. We have here the illustration of the Roman centurion. He responded to God's light. The first thing we notice about the Roman centurion, he responded to God's light. He was a devout and God-fearing man. And Acts chapter 10, verse number 2 tells us this. It says, he and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. Now, don't miss it. He was not praying about Jesus because he didn't know the revelation of Jesus had not come to him. But what he knew that there was a God and he was responding to the light that he had. He was a God-fearing man. And so he was giving the conscience was making him do the things that God would put in his conscience to do. Do you understand what's going on here? But second, God saw that he was a genuine seeker. Acts chapter 10, verse 4, Cornelius stared at him in fear at the angel. What is it, Lord? He asked. The angel answered, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man. And listen, God saw that this guy was a genuine seeker, and God was about to do something. God was about to bring this genuine seeker to find the living Christ. God miraculously brought him to Christ. Amen. Now, how did he do that? God is about to get to this guy, so he has to use Peter. The only problem is that Peter had some issues. Look at verse 28 of Acts chapter 10. Verse 10, 28 says, Peter is speaking to the men at Cornelius' house. He said, you're well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit him. So God says to Cornelius, go and get Peter. The only problem is that Peter don't hang around with these Gentile folks, and Cornelius is a Gentile. He don't go to their houses. So what? God has to do something dramatic. I don't want you to miss the extent that God will go to get the gospel to a seeking sinner. So here is Peter in Joppa, and he's sleeping on the rooftop. And what does he see? He sees something like a sheet coming down from heaven, and all these unclean animals are in there. Remember, now he's a Jew. He can't eat any and everything. All you pork lovers. Oh, please bring me the bacon. I'm not under the law. Thank the Lord. I can have the bacon. Good loin of pork. I better not say any more, lest you all start getting hungry in here. So the sheet comes down, and hears a voice from heaven. Rise, Peter. Kill and eat. Peter said, hold a minute, Lord, not so. Lord, I have never ever touched any of these type of animals. I don't eat any of these unclean things. What does the voice say? What God has cleansed, you better not call common or unclean. And three times this happened. As soon as he comes out of the vision, he's there pondering. I wonder what this means. There's a knock. And the men said, we have been sent by God from Cornelius's house. By the way, if you notice, it was next door. If you notice, it took them until the next day to get there. All right? God had set the whole thing up. God had orchestrated this whole thing. Are you seeing what God is up to? The men in Cornelius' house. What happened at Cornelius' house? By the way, they got saved. I'll tell you that much. They got saved. Because Peter is now responding because he realizes God has prepared him to go to with some of these unclean people. People he normally would regard as unclean. Peter is now willing because of this vision to go. And he goes and he declares the gospel. And these people get saved. The illustration of the principle. But listen, there's another powerful illustration of the principle. It's the Ethiopian eunuch. And just to give you the background, Philip was one of the seven deacons that was chosen. You remember we spoke about the choosing of the seven. He was one of the seven deacons had been chosen, and he had been preaching in Samaria. And the Bible lets us to know there was an incredible outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and people were being saved in large numbers. Revival, people were being saved like crazy in Samaria. And then this God told Philip to do something very strange. Turn with me, Acts 8, verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, this is in the middle of people being saved like crazy. Get the background now. He's preaching, folks are being saved. And the angel said to him, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. The man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. Notice a few amazing things. God sent Philip from a place of great spiritual harvest to meet one man in the desert. I don't want you to miss that. Remember the principle. That one person who is seeking God is going to do anything and everything to get that one person the message. And it takes Philip. By the way, you'll soon see it was a miraculous thing what happened. He took Philip and he sends him to the desert to this one man. Oh, I hope we don't miss the importance of one man. You know, sometimes we get lost in numbers. Oh, if we don't have, you know, if 10 people don't show up, we can't have a Bible study. God takes him from the thousands to the one. Number two, he was Ethiopian, but a diligent seeker of God. You saw that in what we just read. By the way, this is how the gospel would now make its way to Africa. You see, God is doing even a bigger thing here now. He now sends the gospel to Africa through this Ethiopian. Third, Philip shared the message of Christ with him. And as you look at Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8, verse 29, it says, the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. Here we have a devout man, another man who has not met Christ. He's gone all the way to Jerusalem to worship. He's Ethiopian, but he doesn't know Jesus. And so God sends Philip from a crusade to this one man to tell him. He says, "Do you know what you're reading?" Philip says, "How can I? Unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip, this big shot, says, "Come on up into the chariot and sit with him." The Bible says the eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before the shearer is silent. So he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch said to Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about? Is he talking about himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. Thank God this message, it got to Philip. Verse 36, as they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" Philip shared the message of Christ with him. The man asked to be baptized as a sign of his faith. Word of God says that the apostle said back to him, "If you believe, you may." You're not, "What hinders me from being baptized?" "If you believe, you may." It's interesting that this man immediately, isn't it amazing what the Spirit of God does? This man got saved. There's no indication that Philip said anything to him about baptism. But somehow the Spirit of God came into his life, and immediately this man asked to be baptized. I'm going to talk to some of you right now. If you're not baptized, I hope you get a lesson right here. If you're saved and you have not been baptized, I hope the Spirit of God would challenge you that Philip, that moment he says, "What hinders me?" It's the next important step. The moment you know Jesus to be your Savior is for you to be baptized in accordance with the Word of God. The man asked to be baptized as a sign of his faith. Some people ask, "Should we be baptized by immersion or sprinkling?" Well, I hope it's obvious to you here, because the Bible tells you they came out of the chariot and they went into the water. Now trust me, they had water on that chariot. They wouldn't be going through the desert without water. If they wanted some sprinkling, they wouldn't even have to stop the chariot. They would just get the flask of water. Amen. Baptism. That's why we do it by immersion. Look at verse 39 and 40. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. And Philip appeared at Azotus. I don't know if you see that. God had sent Philip to this one man who was seeking to give him the message. And the Bible says immediately as he got the message and was baptized, Philip miraculously disappeared and reappeared in another city. Are you getting it? God will do everything to make sure that any true seeker will come to Christ. What a miracle. Sends him, snatches him away.
As a teenager, I'm excited to invite you to our new season of Tuesday Night Connections. The program includes the whole family with clubs for youth and kids, as well as 4 Bible studies for adults to choose from. Free dinner and childcare are also provided. You don't want to miss this. For details, call our office at 215-242-5550. Again, 215-242-5550.
We invite you to join us each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. as we go through a sermon series based on the book of Acts. This series is entitled Pentecostal Power: Lessons from the Early Church. The messages coincide with the television series AD on NBC. These studies will explore the epic journey of the first followers of Christ, who through the power given at Pentecost changed the world. Come and discover how these lessons learned from the early church can change our lives today. For further information, please call our church office at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550. And now back to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Somebody said, Brother Brian, does God do this today? Does God, I can see how God hooked it up. But does God still do these hookups? Let me tell you a story that is irrelevant to the particular passage, but it shows God hookup. And then I'll tell you a story about the hookup. So Wednesday night, we're coming from Canada, my dear wife and I. We came over, crossed the border at about 10:30 in the night. Little did we realize that America shuts down early in certain parts. So we're rolling along, 87. No gas. My light finally comes on. I tried to reassure my beloved, don't worry, dear, we have a lot of gas. A lot of gas. We will soon find a station. But of course, I started counting. Because we're driving at 75 miles an hour. If you're traveling for half an hour, after a while you realize there's probably not much gas left. So I pulled out Siri. I said, Siri, where is the nearest gas station? So Siri told me 2 miles down the road I'm to exit. I exited 2 miles. She was driving. So if you wonder about the speed, she was driving. Two miles down the road. We exited. The gas station was in darkness. She pulled in anyhow, a woman of faith. She pulled in. A man had his key in the lock. He's turned it. He's moving away for his car. And we said to him, she obviously was hoping he would reopen just for her. But he wasn't that generous. I said to him, is there any more gas on 87? He says, no, everything is closed all the way down to Lake George. We'd have run out of gas. He said, everything is closed. He said, but there is a place. It's about 8 miles or whatever number of miles. Of course, I'm still saying, wow, it's a little town. You know, on the way there, he told us it was a straight shot. It was not a straight shot. We got to a curve in the road, a turn. And we didn't know which way to turn. And of course, you cannot be wrong now. The car is on total fumes. My beloved wife, God helped her. The problem was there was no service at that corner. So we had to make a decision. By God's grace, we made the right decision. We come to another turn. This one was a real debate. We could not decide. And when I pulled out the phone, service was back. And so we could now get the guidance of the thing. Does God do these hookups? I was at Cheryl and I, and Brother Charles and his dear wife, we were at NRB this year, National Religious Broadcasters. A gentleman told us a story. He said, he and a group of men had gone I don't remember which country, but here they were traveling with all these Bibles and other Christian material in a Muslim country. They were in a Muslim country. And they got caught in a blizzard. And the car stalled. And they were there in the blizzard. They weren't there 15 minutes. Somebody came knocking on the door. Of course, they were a little startled. But the man knocked on the door. And the man said, did you bring the books? What books? He says, we have been praying and God told us that you would be bringing the books, that we should come here. That you would be bringing the books. Does God do these hookups? Do you know what God is doing right now? Do you realize one of the big forces going into the Muslim countries are the Christians from China? Did you know that? That the Chinese church, I shared this with you one Sunday, had expanded during the communist era. But now, here the strange thing has happened. The prosperity that has gotten to China has trickled down to the Christians. And so the church now has the funds to send missionaries. And guess what? These Muslim countries have no problem with China, because China is the enemy of America, and the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Are you seeing what God is doing? And the Chinese Christians are going into the Muslim countries to share the gospel. I am saying, listen, God is at work. And I hope you don't miss this. Anyone who questions you about how could God be fair and to allow people who don't know about Jesus for him to send them to hell. The principle is, anyone who seeks the living God, he is going to make sure that that person comes to hear about Jesus Christ. He will move every mountain that he has to move. He will change the economy if he has to. But God will make sure that the seeking sinner will find the Savior. How is this principle implemented? Number one, he uses Christians to share the gospel. We must all be sensitive to the Spirit's leading. When you go home, put in your notes Romans 10, 9 to 15. I'll let you read that as homework. Romans 10, 9 to 15. He uses Christians. According to some recent research, it's estimated that less than 3% of the non-Christians of the world will ever come to a church building. Less than 3%. If these people who are seeking are going to find the Savior, we have got to bring the message of Christ to them. The man at the gas station Wednesday could have just locked the door and not shared the good news about Stewart's gas station. You see how it's retributed in my mind? I still remember the name of the gas station, Stewart's. Can you imagine that seeking sinner if you just took the time to share the good news? God has given me this message. Last night I became convinced that God has given me this message to share because there's somebody here that has a relationship with someone who wants to find the Savior. And I'm hoping this morning that we, as believers in Jesus Christ, no matter how long you have been saved or how short, it doesn't matter. I hope that all of us will seek by the grace of God to get engaged, to share the little we know. You don't have to know a whole lot. Gas up at Stewart's is good enough. Sharing your testimony is good enough. Amen. Share the little you know. But share. But second, the implementation of this principle, he uses Christians to share the gospel, that he brings the light of the gospel to the true seeker. The Word of God says in the book of Romans, chapter 10, it says, the Word of God is near you. It's even in your mouth. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Oh, I believe there's somebody here who's still not saved. You're still not sure that if you died today, you would go to heaven. Oh, I wish to God that you would make sure. You said, how? Brian, explain it to me one more time. Believe in your heart. Not just in your head. Believe in your heart. God, I am putting my faith in you. I am putting my faith in what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross of Calvary. That he died for my sin. And by trusting in him, he can cleanse me from all my sin and make me ready for him. Would you do that? Would you come to Jesus today?
Thanks so much for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5550 or by visiting our website, gcafamilychurch.org.
Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant, Steve Washington, and our entire church family, this is Taylor Noble reminding you to tune in same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.